Kevin.
Done?
It is that time. Well, good evening, gentlemen. Okay, before we start, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please, Carol.
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Steele. Here. Director Graves.
I'm here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Wiesen.
Here.
Thank you. Okay, public comment. During public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the board's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time the item is called before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions must go through the chair. Any public comment? I will close public comment. Presentations. Any presentations?
None this evening.
Thank you. Director's comments. Kevin, anything?
There was a special meeting of the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. They chose, they chose a firm for public relations to go out with the new deal, and they also put together an ad hoc committee to work alongside that group to try to get the best education they can to people with regards to the new benefits assessment that they're talking about putting out there. And I will keep you guys informed a little more as we go forward. And I don't know if we want to do a town hall meeting. I think actually they're doing a town hall meeting. But you know, I mean, they're asking for more money, but they're not going to do anything for Discovery Bay. They're not talking about reopening anything. Or
would they lower it to $90 or something?
97. Yeah, they're talking about that's the, but that they found that to be the threshold. I think they were 198 last time or something like that.
So are they thinking at 97 that Discovery Bay is going to vote no because we don't get anything for it?
I haven't expressed that opinion, but I can't imagine that they're dumb enough to think that we would want to vote for something. You know, at 198, it was going to be a benefit. I mean, I would have voted yes for 198 because we would have gotten something out of it, more personnel. But that's just to sustain it. So there's nothing. So there's one. I don't know. Can we talk about this? Yeah, it's director's comment. One point of view is let it go down to three stations till everybody suffers, and then it gets more equally distributed. You know, let them fail till they have to make a drastic action and come back. But you know, that could cost a life too. So you have to look at it from.
Do you think there's any chance of getting grant money again?
That was a one-time shot. There's nothing on the horizon for that now.
Okay, thanks.
That's all I have. And I'll have to get that to you, Carol.
Can you change the roll call that Chris is now here?
Perfect.
Any director's comments? Vice President?
Bill?
Nothing this evening.
Marianne?
I have nothing. Thank you.
All righty. I don't either, so let's go to the consent calendar.
Mr. President, you may want to, for the record, just note that we did attend the State of the Town dinner Saturday evening.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
I will note that after the general manager of the town noted it. Doubly noted. It was a nice turnout. It was a very nice affair, with the exception of a little noise from the back of the room. And we look forward to it again next year. Can I get a motion for the consent calendar, if there's no questions?
So I'll move.
Second.
Any discussion? There's no public comment. Can I call for the vote? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. New business, F1.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you this evening is a continuation of our Lift Station F project. As you know, we are out to bid on that project right now. Bid opening, I believe, for the construction is on Tuesday. This is for the control panel purchase and SCADA-related items relative to that, the amount of $114,000 to Veolia. And Gregory Harris can address any questions or any specifics you might have on the project.
Okay. This was discussed already, was it not?
It was on your last agenda to purchase the, not the last one, back in December to purchase the pumps for it. And this is just another component of it's a pre-purchase.
Okay, this is it's already figured in our budget, am I correct? And we're not going over budget anywhere?
We'll get to that.
I thought that was
a little bit later.
But that's in the update.
Okay, well, go ahead and give us the update.
That's item
I can give you an update on Pump Station F, but the capital improvement budget's on this. But so on Pump Station F, it was always planned to, Veolia has been providing equipment at cost to the district. And, you know, they had that big changeover, and there's some question whether they can continue to do that. They've retained KIPP as a consultant, as we requested. They are continuing to provide equipment to the district, and so we're going to purchase this equipment in a similar manner. And I've gone through the invoices and reviewed Veolia's costs and stuff, and they're providing it to us at cost, you know, as cheaply as they can get it, with their volume discounting and things like that. It did turn out to be a little more complex than we thought. But after going through the hardware, that is the cost of what it takes. Recently, I asked KIPP if there's something we can do further to reduce the cost. He has some ideas, and we have some preliminary costs to maybe get it a little cheaper. But at the moment, this is the cost as designed, and we still have to evaluate if the other stuff will work. And, you know, but this is basically, we have a very short window to purchase and buy the equipment. I'll have to be here ready for the contractor, so they go down May 1st, and be ready for when school goes out. You know, so based on the timeline, this is the most expeditious way, and the costs are legitimate for the equipment that we're buying. So we're recommending purchase. In terms of the overall budget for Pump Station F, you know, the job's out to bid now, so we have to estimate what we think it's going to cost. We'll know on Tuesday what the real bid amount is. But we are tracking the whole project cost for F at about $100,000 over, so around $600,000 versus $500,000. And we have a CIP update to show you all the projects and what that means globally in a few minutes. But that's sort of the status of Pump Station F. We hope we're being conservative, but we'll know on Tuesday.
Where are we pulling this money from, Rick?
Their bond funds.
Essentially, we're under on other bond fund projects, and they're balancing out. And that's what we'll talk about as we come along.
Kevin?
No.
Chris?
No, thanks.
Are you in? Bill?
Yeah. One of the things that's kind of, because I'm coming up to speed on all this stuff, is the programming expenses. And we're looking at $29,000 for programming.
Yeah.
I just got to get around this. I'm not saying it's not justified, but I just don't understand. I guess I don't understand how complex the programming of that is.
We can explain that. The biggest problem is it's not like a computer. This is called programmable logical controller equipment. It's industrial based PLC equipment. PLC is different than a computer. The other part about it is, in most always case, it's custom programming. Mm-hmm. So there is a programming language that's there, but someone has to come in and address, because no one knows, like, all your, what they're called, input and outputs, all your I/O. You know, you have a sensor. Well, you know, when they come up with it, no one knows that you're going to need that kind of a sensor, or that you're going to need that kind of a float, or you're going to need this, or you're going to land it this way or stuff. So someone has to come in and they have to address all of that, and then they build the functionality around what you physically had to build. And so everything turns out to be custom, and it's on site and it's custom. So you're hiring a programmer to come to the site, review all that I/O, and then program the functionality right there on site. So, you know, there's a cost element to do that. And in this case, the contract is T&M. If they get it done sooner, and I monitor that contract, we don't pay the cost. You know, like, if they come out and it's like, hey, it wasn't as hard as I thought, or it only took them 2 days or whatever, we only pay the actual time. The 114 is a not to exceed number, you know, in terms of
right.
how it comes.
Yeah. What? So how do the two different programming components of, just say, KIPP and the Cascade or Cassell or whatever that is, how are they interfacing together, and why do we need two?
Okay, there's two elements of what's going on. There is the local, I got to turn a pump on and off, I got to check floats, I got to check alarms. We're also installing a new radio system as part of this, so we got to communicate that information back to SCADA at the plants. And so there's a higher level architectural programming, data transfer of information, et cetera, that has to take place. And so that's sort of the functionality element of KIPP's involvement. making sure the big picture stuff takes place, and he basically directs Cascade what to do. So he's telling Cascade, go program this and go program this. We want it to communicate this way. This is how we want our architecture built. You know, that kind of thing.
All right, and then he does the fine tuning or
yes,
something.
Right, okay. Yeah. All so right. If they get in there and it's like, oh, this isn't tuned out, then he can step in and he can take care of, you know, little details like that.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions?
Move
public comment? Go ahead, Kim.
Is there public comment?
There's no public comment.
Move to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks. F2, adopt resolution 2014-03 approving a drug and alcohol policy pursuant to the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Administration. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is one of those policies that the federal government says if you're going to have CDL drivers driving your vehicles, then you need to comply with our policy. They don't give you any leeway in it. And so the policy that you're seeing tonight is required by the Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Administration, pursuant to different parts of the Federal Register. For employees of ours that drive DOT regulated vehicles, and we have two, we have the Vactor truck, and we also have the boom truck. The boom truck, when it's by itself, is fine, but when the boom truck has a trailer attached to it, it then becomes subject to these requirements. We get audited every year inspected every year by the California Highway Patrol, and last year they noted that we did not have this policy in place, so we are bringing that at this point in time. Rod's, one of his colleagues in his firm, has reviewed it and understood the requirements of the feds, and really we don't have any leeway in the policy. We have to comply with it. So that's why it's coming to you this evening. We do drug and alcohol testing on our employees that do drive those vehicles. We do randoms on them. They've been conducted previously within the past 5 or 6 months, required to do an annual random. And we also, there will be another policy coming to you later that will be for non-DOT employees, for regular rank and file staff, and especially for new hires and that sort of thing. But we do new hire drug and alcohol testing, which we just rolled that out just recently, but that doesn't necessarily apply to this. So if you have any questions about it, we'd be happy to answer them, although we can't really make any changes.
Is the back truck over 26,000 GVW?
It's a tandem axle.
It doesn't matter. It's a GVW.
It must be because it's required. Because Furman and his crew, Veolia, he has to have a CDL driver as well.
That truck should have a motor carrier permit on it.
It does. It has a U.S. DOT.
Well, it should have a DOT, but it should have a motor carrier permit. Like I have on my truck, and it should have a number like 26 or 30 or 27. That's the GVW. If it's under 20, if it's 26 or under, it does not require a CDL. Any truck.
I'm sure you. Then it must meet that threshold because the CHP does.
Well, you may want to find out because they don't know. I mean, they're guessing that you have commercial trucks in your fleet. You might want to check because you don't have to know if it's 26 or under, or under 26. I think the back truck is under 26. And I think the boom truck.
We'll check that.
I think the boom truck is way under 20.
The boom truck is way under, but the boom truck becomes subject to it because of the length.
It's got to be over 40 feet.
It's the boom truck and the 18-foot trailer combined when you connect those two together.
I mean, it's, the random testing is good anyway. I don't see another problem with it. But don't let them tell you that the truck is, if it's under 26, it does not require a motor carrier permit.
Which could save us on some vehicle registration fee.
Exactly, because the weight fees alone are about $700 a year, $800 a year. Well, you don't pay them, though. We have it exempt.
No.
Any questions, Diane?
I just have one question. You list two employees here. Those are the only two people that fall under this?
The two employees are the managers that are the employees' managers that have to be trained under this policy.
This is
as
a
well.
Training. This is
and
okay.
That's the man. Those two managers have staff that work under them that are subject to this policy. So we don't have the employees' names at this point in time, but as soon as the policy is adopted, they'll be integrated into it.
Okay, thank you.
Bill? Kevin?
No.
Chris?
No.
Okay, so you need a motion? Do we have any public comment?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Our new item, item G, informational items only, no action necessary.
That's correct. The first one, we have two of them. The first one is the aforementioned CIP update, and Carol is going to, I think she's going to hand out the sheets if she hasn't done so already. We're going to do this as a quarterly from now on, as the projects, we've been giving you updates, but we're going to make them on a quarterly basis on our CIP project from here on out. So you'll be seeing Greg giving this report again 3 months from now and subsequently on down the road. Thank you. The projects that are listed on the sheet are a lot of our CIPs. They're not some of the smaller ones we have, but the more larger ones. And not all of them are bond projects. So Greg will get into that as well.
Okay, I've shown this to this sheet before. I've tried to simplify and update a little bit. I'm going to go through piece by piece and get everyone re-familiarized with it. We're not going to worry about the graph. The graph's there for people that like to visualize things. But the first answer, long and short of it, is we have a lot of different CIP projects. Some of them have bond funding. Many of them do, but not all of them. Okay, but in many cases, we stood up before the board and said, we want to build A, B, and C, and D. Many of these were identified under the master plan. Some were bond funded, some were CIP'd, but we're trying to keep track of those projects for you so that you can feel informed about, okay, we said we were going to spend X, we approved X, what's happening with that money and those projects. Okay, so that's the purpose of this. So we've listed out the projects that we're tracking in this method, and they were the bigger cost items that were identified in the master plan. Basically, all these are master plan items. They're identified in the master plan, and that's how we're tracking them. But in some cases, there was a CIP budget that got rolling in the case of solids, and then a final CIP budget that came along in 2012-2017. And in some cases, there's bond fund related and stuff with them. So the quick answer is, if you look at the right-hand side here, I'm going to give you the big picture first, and then we're going to go through the detail. So the big picture is, if you look at the total CIP budget is about $16 million. It's down to the right here on the right-hand column, right there. So about $15.9 million. And that is CIP budget, so it doesn't rank the exact bond funds because there's other funds besides the bond funds in there, okay? And the list of the projects is listed across the top. So of that, we have spent to date approximately $6.5 million, okay? So we've spent about 40% of the money, okay? So now the question is, well, are we doing good or we aren't doing good? Well, there's a current summary of variance. What that variance is, highlighted in yellow, that is the current global of all the projects. How much did we say they were gonna cost versus how much are we finding out they're gonna cost as we go through and spend this 40% of the money we've spent already. So we're 40% of the deal in, and the reality is we're 40% through, and we are tracking that we are on the plus side, on the positive side, by about $52,000 right now. So that's the big picture, okay? And then we'll talk about, now, some projects you've heard about have gone over budget. The inflow pump station went over budget, remember? Then we redesigned it, saved a little bit more money, but it was still over budget. And we've had to work to get that money made back up in other ways, and we've done that, you know. And so we're gonna go through and show you project by project just so you get a sense of how they work. But what's important about this is last April, we did our first update for you. And you guys asked us to tell you, when you change a number, kind of tell us what you told us before so we kind of get a relative, where'd we go, okay? Well, last April, we just bid the inflow pump station, and we were over substantially from what we had budgeted for that one project, okay? And so we told you we were short by $273,000 last year, okay? So when we still have to project, we're still guessing future costs. We haven't spent all the money yet, right? So we still have to project, but we know there's some costs here. We just got to bid, right? We just built some stuff. And the farther we go along, the more accurate we can be, right? Because there's more of it behind us and less of it in front of us, okay? But a year ago, we thought we were short $273,000, and we vowed we'll go figure out a way to cut costs going forward to, you know, help that out. Last August, we were here, And we said, hey, we found most of it, and we found some ways to save some money, and we're on the plus side by $125,000. And now today, we're telling you, you know, that's trimmed out a little bit, and we're on the plus side by about $52,000, with 40% of the money spent, and projecting forward through remainder costs. That's kind of the big picture. And we'll continue to update. I'll probably stop dropping, you know, I'll just keep last month's kind of thing. But, you know, but I wanted to get you up to date. And then quarterly, we'll just tell you what we told you last time. You know, and say, this is what we told you last time, this is kind of where we're at. So when we get a bid in, like we're going to get pump station F in on Tuesday, and it'll be the higher or lower than our estimate, right? And then we'll update this. And then when we get some bid costs or some other things, we'll update it, and that'll come back to you quarterly. Okay, but that's kind of big picture status. So now on the individual item basis, let's talk just by project and see, you know, basically what's going on. So the first project up is the fiber optic project. We had an initial budget in the CIP of $50,000. And if you recall, this was one where Virgil cut a deal with Hoffman that if they helped us trench and dig some of this, we'll hook them up to the fiber in line that we're putting in. They can pull a fiber, and we'll work it all out. As a result of that, we've saved some money because Hoffman donated some labor, essentially, to dig some trenches and put some pipe in for us.
And they share the trench.
Yeah, and they're sharing, essentially sharing the trench. They're not sharing our line, but they got a conduit, they shared the trench, you know, kind of thing. So we saved about $26,000. It wasn't an expensive job, but we're on the positive. If the number's positive, it meant, you know, the top number, you see the CIP budget was $50,000 right up on the left. And you see the different costs. The actual is just right to the left. So the CIP budget's on the left. The budget's always on the left. And you see the actual cost on the right. So then we come down. There's our actual cost. And the total actual cost was $23,189. And then the variance is just subtracting the budget from what we spent. Right, so that's the difference between $50,000 and $23,189 is $26,811. So we're $26,000 on the plus. Okay, so that helps that the project's out. Okay, the next budget over is UV improvements. This was the fourth bank of the UV. You guys remember you purchased that? Originally, we had a project budget of $250,000 for it, but we bought it ourselves and Veolia installed it. So instead of going out to a general contractor and doing it the big way, we bought it ourselves, Veolia installed it, Veolia's crew installed it, and we got it done for $150,563. Actual cost. So there's a savings of $99,437 that can sort of help out other projects. So those were good. Not that big a value dollar-wise, but they came out on the plus side. All right, then we have the next project is solids handling facility. This is one of it's the second biggest project. So getting through this one's important because it was a big chunk of what it is. They had a total budget in the 2011-2012 CIP of $800,000, and then a remaining budget in 2012-2017 of $3,851,000. So approximately $4.65 million. The good news is we're almost done. It took 2 years. You know, it is a long project. It took 2 years. The other good news is we're under budget by about $200,000. And the even better news is originally in the master plan, we were going to build one solar dryer. And then we realized if we bought them at the same time and built them at the same time, we could get both of what we needed to be done and get it in on the same cost. And so we have actually, in this instance, built two solar dryers for what we had budgeted to build one, and still ended up $200,000 under budget on that item. So that was a big, big win. A, we were under budget, and B, you guys got something you hadn't planned on getting, a major structure. So that was really a good deal for us.
Yeah. What percentage of completion did you put on that project?
95, you know, and there are no new contracts. We're just finishing the contract work on the last contract.
So the costs are very low from here forward.
The costs are low, and they're already under contract, and there isn't any and there is no remaining piece, if you would, on that. And we actually will start startup. By the way, Parkson's coming to start doing startup February 4th. So we'll be done in February on the project. Okay, and that's important because that was $4.6 million out of the budget of the whole budget. right? So it was a big percentage, and we've gotten through it. It's behind us now, and we hit all our targets. And we actually got a little bit extra. We hit all our budget targets, and we got a little bit extra. Actually, we got a lot extra, but it was a good project. So then moving on to Pump Station W. Okay, so far I'm a hero.
That's right? About to change.
So far I'm knocking them over the fence. Okay, you know, we came up here and big old toe stub here on Pump Station W. We admit it, okay. It isn't always easy to figure some of these things out when you're doing $14 million of projecting ahead of time. You can't get them all right. We did not get Pump Station W right. When we originally bid this job, we were $700,000 over budget. We came back and said, we think we can do better. We redesigned it, and we rebid it, and we saved $200,000. So we got it down to $500,000 over budget. But the good news now is Pump Station W is half done. We're halfway through the project, and we're not projecting any significant cost overrun. There may be a small changer at the end, but at the moment, there is no contract change orders. We're still in contract to finish. Okay, and if nothing new comes up, no new surprises, we'll hit this budget. This is to finish. So we're $500,000 over. So I've been under, we're $5,000 over budget. So I've been saving money, bam, I just hit this. And this was the one that started a lot of the concern a year ago. It's like, hey, wait a minute, we can't have all these projects come $500,000 over budget, or we're gonna have a problem, you know, as we come down the line.
How did we miss this project by $500,000?
You know, some of the things was like we missed the electrical upgrade that was going to have to take place. Remember, we had to pull PG&E in. Well, it wasn't just that we had to pull PG&E and pay them the $30,000. Okay, it's the fact that we had to change the electrical service to start with and buy the electrical hardware and equipment. You know, that was a surprise. You know, and the complexity of bringing W online and switching this out turned out to be a lot more complex than we thought. The phasing and this length of the project lengthened out because of all the detailed phasing to implement the project. And it's hard, you know, when you're doing a master plan and you're projecting $14 million in costs, and, you kind of say, yeah, that feels about right for that pump station. You estimate what you can, but you don't necessarily, you're not able to get into everything. You put a contingency on and say that should cover it, but it didn't.
This project, while it says Pump Station W, is actually three separate projects rolled into one, and it's the Influen Pump Station, it's Pump Station W, and it's also the Emergency Storage Lagoon, and there's a sequencing that has to take place, and if you can just briefly address that.
Yeah, you know, the reason we're not done is the pumps are here. We bought pre-purchased the pumps, you recall, on that. The pumps are here, and they've been here a while. But, you know, the complexity of A, having to change out the electrical service. So it kind of went like this. We got to build Pump Station W first, which we're actually done with, okay? We got to buy the electrical equipment we got from Veolia. And then, you know, we had to, one thing at a time, we had to rent a generator for the entire treatment plant, run it on the generator while we take out the main switch gear, change out the transformer, put a new pad in, put a new transformer in, the whole time wait for PG&E to bring this stuff out and mount it up, and then we had to build a brand new main switch gear, you know, and then we have to rewire, change the wires from the main switch gear out to the MCC, just so that we can now get ready to turn on Pump Station W. Then once Pump Station W is on, we have all this interconnected piping that they have to integrate one piece at a time, because we can't take the treatment plant offline. So it's like, we have one pump station now, we're bringing another one, and we got to mix it in, and you have to take pipes off live, and you got to rush really fast, and you can only do one step at a time until the next piece is done. So that sequencing has really laid the schedule out, because we started a year ago, and we're going to be 12 months. It's going to take 12 months to finish this. We're going to be done in April, and you know that's what it's going to take. It's going to take 12 months to get it done. So. All I can say is it isn't always easy, you know, to get them right. And we also want to give you realistic budgets. You don't want to go float $16 million in bonds and then come up with $2 million left over. I mean, it may sound good, but you're paying interest on that money. And, you know, you can't get carried away and just put a huge number on everything. So
right.
That is what it is.
With regards to Pump Station W,
yeah,
the $100,000 work attributed to this, to the next project in sequence there.
Yeah.
So explain to me, how that's affecting the numbers I'm looking at. In other words, so I did $100,000 work under a project four that was attributed to project five. So That's part of the $515,000 I'm over, though.
Well, exactly. In this case, I'm simply making you aware of it. I didn't try and keep track of the math for you.
No, I understand.
Yeah,
so would it be reasonable? Would it be reasonable to say that we're 450? Would this work?
Yes.
$415,000 over on pump station W, but we only showed $226 under on the secondary because $100,000 got shipped over to another column, or is it in both columns?
Well, no, it's in only one column, and it's not added in the map. It's just showing you that by
oh,
the
it's
way,
not in the map. Okay, I'm
it's
sorry.
It's not in the map.
I didn't do the math
because I didn't want to make it complicated.
I'm with you.
All
I'm
trying
with you.
To alert
okay.
you is,
I'm with
hey,
you. I'm with
we
you.
Knew there's stuff coming on the secondary project. We knew we had to get in there and do some work that's related to this intertie for the inflow pump station. So I built some extra electrical backbone. I built some extra stuff that I know I don't want to have to come back and build again later, and I threw it on that one project. So in reality, pump station, inflow pump station W, and that whole set of projects is $400,000 over, but I threw an extra $100,000 of work on top of it. But the real number is if we go on to the next project, the secondary project, we have a construction budget that we have never touched on the next project. Let's see. We have a construction project of $4.84 million. The $100,000 really should go against there. We built something that's planned into that $4.84 million, okay? But I'm not crediting it right now. I'm just alerting people because this all adds up when it's all said and done anyway. We're adding them all up anyway. So I didn't see a reason for the money. I just want to make people aware.
Gotcha.
So reality is we started building stuff now at Plant 2 as part of the inflow pump station project that was always envisioned to be part of the secondary projects. Just we had to stage things, and certain things had to happen a certain way, and so that's how it goes, you know. But what I expect will be proven shortly in a couple months, but what I expect then essentially in theory, the $4.84 million should come in a little bit less because we've already built something. I mean, that's where you'll see it. And we'll know it when it's real, when we get the bid. And that's what we're waiting for. So we're not gonna monkey with the number now. Let's get the bid. We plan to be out the bid in about 2 months. We're almost done. And then we'll know the number. You know, then we'll know the number and then we'll be able to update. All right, so that was good questions on pump station W, inflow pump station. There you can see the cost there. And the $100,000 is information only. It doesn't add in any of the numbers. It's just there for you guys to kind of see. Okay. So the next project is, so that $500,000 was the first time we actually started going negative, and that was the April last year. We said, hey, we're negative now. You know, we hadn't spent that much money yet, because we were only halfway through solids, we were only halfway done, we still didn't project out to finish solids and things. So we were negative. So what have we said we're gonna do about it? Well, the first thing we did is, okay, we reanalyzed our budgets, and we said we're not gonna take any away from the construction on the secondary project. That is still projected at what it's projected off, okay? But what we realized is we can tighten up some of these other numbers that had to do with design and engineering and construction services. And so we took that money and said, we won't need it. We can cut our costs. I'm the guy that does it. It's easy enough for us to cut that cost, okay? So we can cut that cost. Also, because we're doing a neg deck on the equipment, the sequel work wasn't as complex as we thought it was could have been. As a result of that, we saved money on soft costs. We haven't cut the hardware. We haven't cut the plant. We just saw soft costs, we've reduced. And so we're projecting about a $300,000 savings in soft costs. Okay, so that helps us. That helps us on that. And since I'm in control of half of that savings, and the other is we don't need to do a big complex CECA document, it's pretty the legit savings. And so we're referencing that. Just as an update on that, we plan to be out to bid in 2 months. And we plan to be under construction this summer because there's some dirt work and some concrete work we want to get done before the big rains come. Every October 15th.
I think you're going to be safe about the big rain.
Should have built it this year. Always time. The only way you make it rain is go build a big project where you got to move a lot of dirt and be in the ground all day. So that's the secondary project. The next project over is the SCADA improvements. So SCADA improvements, we haven't done anything on. We won't do anything on until we finish secondary. But it was a projected cost, and we're just basically saying, I don't know any more or less, that it's basically on budget until I know more. Collection system pump stations are also planned to spend about $650,000 in miscellaneous pump station improvements, We haven't done anything with that, so that cost at the moment is carried as is. Lift station F. Okay, so now this is where we were talking earlier. We had a budget of $500,000, and you have to be fair on this one. That budget was created when Rick said, Greg, we need to go for X amount. What else can we put on the list? And literally a phone call. We always have talked about pump station F. Let's fix pump station F. Okay, how much? $500,000. All right, so literally my budget estimate was $500,000 on a 15-minute phone call. Okay, so, you know.
A swag.
It was a swag, okay. And we never even defined what it is we were gonna do. I mean, I didn't even know specifically.
Or how you were gonna do it.
What it is we were gonna do. We didn't have an agreement. So, you know, we didn't even know, like, what is it that Violi wants, or what does Virgil want, or what does Rick want? You know, we worked all that out this summer. We got into design, got it done. And at the moment, I'm projecting us to be about $100,000 over when it's all said and done. And we have costs now for engineering. We got the cost from Violi on the control panels. We've already pre-purchased the pumps. We're down to just what's it going to take to build it. So we have half the cost controlled. Now what's left, you know? And we'll see. Bids are Tuesday. And we'll see if on what side of that. The biggest unknown is the bypassings are always tricky. And we have to bypass for 8 weeks. So we've got to shut it off and put a bypass in. And you never kind of know, in my opinion, it's very difficult as an engineer to see how they see those costs. They're running pumps, they're running manpower, there's risk if they flood, there's a lawsuit, right? You know, so, you know, how people see that is different. We'll know when we get there. So at the moment, we had a $500,000 budget. I'm estimating a bid at around $325,000 to build it. And if that comes in at that number, we're going to be about $100,000 over. Fortunately, because of other savings along the way, at the moment, we're still on the plus side. We have well 7 out to bid right now. This was not here before, but it's been added since it's kind of one of the major CFP projects. We said, well, let's just put all the CFP projects on here, the big ones. So you got a budget 1.476. We spent about $95,000 to date. We spent a little bit of the construction budget, and I'm still trying to track down contracts, like what the contract bid was to build it and stuff. So we'll adjust that next time. But at the moment, that's where we're at. Basically, we think we're on budget until I get more information. And then the last item here is the bond contingency budget. There was $300,000 in the bond that was just contingency, just nothing. Okay, so when I say we're $52,000 on the right side of the things, I don't count the 300. The 300 is not in any of the math here. Okay, so the 300 is just sitting there on the side, you know, for, geez, we got to the end and we're just short, you know. We'll really know a lot once we get the big contract price for the secondary project, because that's the last big piece. After that, it's going to be, you know, downhill on these. Hopefully, downhill on these as we come under budget. And we have done some design changes to try and help make sure that project comes in under budget. So, you know, we'll find out, but I feel I'm sticking by the 4.8 number or less is where I'm at on that project. And we'll have it by the next update because we'll have this. So that's all the projects that we're tracking in terms of the big CIP projects in the CIP and in the bond fund kind of mixed together. And pump station F bids are coming Tuesday. We'll be at your next board approval for that contract. You know, and, I mean, you guys will know immediately since you see the number. I said it's going to be 325, so you know we're doing good or we're doing not, if it's more or less than 325. Told you the number right here. Okay? Any questions?
Marianne, anything?
I have none, thank you.
Oh, did a good job. Thank you, Greg.
Chris?
No, thanks for the information.
Gregory, thank you. This is very easy to follow, very easy to digest. I appreciate it. Public comment?
Okay, I'm just going to say I'd like to thank staff for doing it. I think this is a great addition to the agenda.
Absolutely.
And it keeps kind of everybody, our job is to watch the money, and it keeps everybody up to speed. If you're not on one of the committees, that's great.
This is very easy to work with. Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Annual disclosure pursuant to California Government Code Section 53065-5. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is one of those items that wasn't even aware of was a requirement, and in fact didn't never even heard of it until we were at the conference up in Napa, and it came, it hit my radar screen at that point in time. And I spoke to Neil McCormick, executive director of CSDA, and I said, I've never even heard of this, and his response to me was, we're not alone. And so I felt good with that. So what we are doing is we are catching up, at least for fiscal year 2012-13, the year that ended June 30th of last year. What this government code requires is that, this is just for special districts, that any reimbursement of $100 or more to anybody in the district, be it an employee or a board member, needs to be disclosed. So if you go to the second page there, there are for this period, there were only employees. Next year, when we do it for this current fiscal year, there'll be some board members that will be on there. But primarily, it's just, it's a reimbursement. If the board has had to reimburse anybody for mileage, for meals, for travel, for conferences, whatever the case may be. So this is something that we just have to post once a year. And so we're posting it in compliance. We don't do anything with it. Just the fact it's there, it's there.
So if the district, as we went on that last meeting, went ahead and prepaid everything, then it's not listed because it's showing in your budget. But if someone, say myself, had paid for my hotel rooms and stuff, and you reimbursed us, then it would show up on this report.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Any questions, comments? Vote. Let's move on. Thanks, Rick. Veolia report. Furman, come on up.
Good evening, Board.
How are you?
I'm a little bit under the weather, so
hey, you look
if I start coughing, I hear you. I apologize.
Do the short version.
Although I like the bass, I wish it would stay, you know.
Yeah. Next time when you set up for next meeting, move that podium. He doesn't move now, but next time you set up, move that podium out so you don't have to call.
Okay.
It's not even going.
Yeah.
Should be. There you go.
No, just use the keypad.
We got it,
I guess.
We can.
I'll make it short and sweet. I tell you, I already have a headache from listening to Gregory.
I didn't really left you said that.
A lot of information there. Okay, we didn't have anything unusual with the training. We Scott and I went to have some thermal imaging camera training at Rio Vista. Those are the reports that were submitted for the month of December. And for water, we produced 67.61 million gallons, and that completes the table for the year. I don't know how much we did, but I think for the year we did over 1 billion gallons of water production.
1,285,000,000.
There you go.
That's a lot of gallons.
A thirsty town.
You're very thirsty.
91,000 gallons per capita.
That's a lot of water.
What? Per person?
It must be all the landscaping.
That's for all uses.
I'm just not bathing my cat.
Yeah.
Lab data. There wasn't anything unusual in lab data. The only thing that was kind of unusual was that the flow in million gallons daily influent and flow million gallon discharge were identical for both months. And it's not October, November as a typo up on top. It's actually November, December data. Any questions so far?
No, just while I'm thinking about it so it doesn't get away. Next time we do the pipeline newsletter, use that kind of data in there to help wake the general public up a little bit and why meters may be coming.
Meters will be coming. There's no may about it.
Eventually.
We didn't have any excursions for the month. All the water coliform samples came out negative, which is good. Collection system. We flushed 1,752 feet of sanitary sewer lines. We're at 38% completed, and 0% CCTV for the month of December.
When higher headquarters was here, we brought that question up, and they said, oh, yeah, well, we're going to, yeah.
We started January 10th. So CCTV, they're doing it right now.
Okay, so all right.
We're working on it.
Okay, it's rolling. Thank you. Yeah.
Sometimes it's a little slow.
There, there's a truck every now and then, you'll see literally parked in the middle of the street in front of a manhole, and that's what they're doing.
Right. Okay. Well, the good news is they're here.
We're working on it.
Yes. Okay.
And we discussed the SSO at Key West Way already, so we had that in December. We placed some bio plugs in lift station, Lakeshore and G and S to test for odor control, but it's hard to tell right now that it's summertime. It's hard to tell any odor, so we're really going to have to continue to pursue that during the summertime when there is more production. We had a PG&E power outage in lift station F on December 14th under collections and under wastewater. We had a power outage. While Greg was referring to the transformer, we had to do that transformer switching over. So we were on portable power for about 2 weeks. And in order so that PG&E can install a bigger transformer. We had some problems with the portable generator. We experienced an outage and we couldn't get the generator going. So we used the town's emergency generator power. But when we came back up, we experienced some problems with the SCADA system. So we lost some history in the histographs only. We had the tags. We were able to go and retrieve all the data we needed in order for our reports. But in the histographs, we lost that. And we're still working on trying to retrieve that data. We lost clarifier number 4. We had some corroded wires. And we were out for clarifier number 4 for about, I think it was 2 or 3 days. And we didn't find the wires. We repaired the wires. We went back online. And we lost the magnet rotor number 2 at plant number 1, a bearing issue. We replaced the HMI panel for belt filter press number 2. It went out, and I believe it was a warranty item, so they sent us a new panel, and we installed it. We cleaned the UV3000 on December 19th. And the UV 3000 plus on December 31. Also, Cascade programmed the clarifier number 1, and it was placed into service during the month of December. Any questions for the wastewater?
Hey, let me just clarify something that we learned Chris and I heard at the meeting today. When you talk about that lost bearing on Magna Rotor Plant 2, we're already down one rotor at plant 1. That's the one that the shaft broke off on. There's 4 rotors in each clarifier. So we're down to 3 rotors, but we only keep 2 of them in service at this time of year because it's not high flow. So in essence, I mean, that seemed critical when I heard it today. Wait a minute, it was 4 rotors and we're missing 1 in each plant. But we only, correct me when I go wrong here, Fern, but we only use 2 this time of year typically, and we can rotate between those 3. Because we're probably, 3 to 4, maybe 5 months out in getting those repaired?
3 months.
3 to 4 months out in getting those repaired. But it takes away one set of our backups. We need to find out what the problem is. Why? What is it, selling ground? Chris actually said that today, that it might be selling ground or whatever, to figure out why we're losing bearings or why we're losing shafts. And we're bringing a testing company in to laser shoot that and make sure that we're maintaining the levels that we need to maintain so we don't burn through these bearings as fast as we
can. Is this equipment about the same age?
No. Plant 2, those were, I think it was in 2007?
Yeah, much newer.
When they were installed last? Is that right, Rick?
No, Plant 2 would have been probably in the 2000 time frame. The one at Plant 2, if you recall, literally
it's
severed.
Correct.
That's very unusual. Bearings
are going to wear out.
We only got about 20% wear out of the bearings. If in fact the numbers we got today in the meeting were correct from Virgil. So that's a little disconcerting. You know, these bearings are about $3,000 a piece, plus the crane, plus the labor. To replace them, so
right, but we only got 20% of their life out of them?
And what's the life expectancy of them?
Well, that's the number. 100,000 hours. 100,000.
I think that's
hours.
What you said.
100,000 hours, but we only really got about 20,000 hours out of them for the math Furman did today.
And we had two of them break for the same purpose?
No. Two different reasons, but it knocked out a rotor, manual rotor in each clarifier.
The rotor at plant two, it was a severing, it's like a prop shaft severing.
Yeah.
And it, when it broke, it tore concrete and everything
else. So chance that's a metallurgy problem though?
The one at plant one was bearings, and you just have to replace the bearings. The other one, you have to replace the entire system. Remember, it was like $50,000.
The question is, there a chance the shaft was defective from the start?
It could be, but it's 15 years old at this point in time.
But it's still only got 20% of its life.
Well, no, that's the bearing.
No, that's the bearing. That shaft never should have
been. But yeah, the shafts at plant one have never been replaced. And how old were those, 84 or something like that? So that was, it was unusual to have that shaft snap. But you're right, absolutely correct there.
It could have been a weakness in the concrete. It could have been
maybe the concrete let go, and that put them.
So who's going to look at it?
Well, Furman's going to. We're going to call in. Turbo. Where are you calling? Go ahead, Furman.
Turbo, get them come in and get a quote and see if they can do a laser alignment on it. They can test it and make sure.
We'll make sure that our shafts aren't somehow off to where it's putting excess wear on the bearings, because that's just the bearing issue now we're talking about, and make sure that everything's lined up. And find out, maybe we got a settling problem or something, and we need to realign before we put another set of bearings in there at the cost of 3,000 pieces, probably about $10,000, something like that.
I think it's like about six. Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, that's for the bearings, but the labor.
That's for the bearings and labor.
Two, well, that's the bearings
two for the bearings, three, and then three on the labor.
Three for both bearings, okay. Anyway. Something to keep our eye on.
We're not sure what's going on there, but those bearings are going out far sooner than what they should be. We're trying to find out what it is.
I mean, they're lasting years. They're just not lasting as many years as they should be lasting. It's not like they're going out every five or 6 months. I mean, we're not getting the life cycle that we would anticipate getting out of them. Yeah. Mm.
Another item that I see in the wastewater is that PIC broke the influent line to plant two, the discharge in the influent pump station. That was kind of interesting.
PIC is Pacific Infrastructure. They're doing the project, the influent lift station W, and on New Year's Eve, about 4 p.m., their backhoe operator cracked into a sewer line that goes between plant one and plant two. Hmm. And so they were down. Their New Year's Eve wasn't very fun, let's put it that way.
Is that crappy time you're saying?
Yes.
So they had to stay until it was fixed, and fortunately it was all on site. It was held on site, so.
About 3 hours?
Yeah. Okay. Water. We experienced some PLC issues at Willow. Because it's Modicon, we had MCC come out and troubleshoot it, and they found that there's some issues with electrical noise, similar to what we're experiencing out at one of the lift stations. And we're in the process of trying to get a device that can help us try to track where that noise is coming from. It's dealing with harmonics. So I'm not that familiar with it. I'm not the one really deal the one detail about it, but we're working on it.
And you think the noise is caused by the electrical the transmission of electrical energy, or is it component parts that are running?
No, it's I think Chris might have built it.
There's some interference when those motors are running. There's four of them in a small area, and then the controllers are in the same area, and they're going to need to analyze if there's some sort of feedback or either magnetic or inductance is causing some sort of crossover of voltage spikes or
It's communicating to the VFDs that there's something wrong and the pumps shut down and they won't come back on.
Mm. Yeah, these solid state parts will just shut down if the voltage level goes over a certain level or drops low. Turns everything off, but something in the air is costing.
But how long has this facility, that location, been running?
It happened after the last motor was installed, right?
It was during the summertime when we initially experienced it, and then a motor went bad, and we switched the motor, and it persisted. It kept on going. The last time it happened here is when it was like a bunch of Christmas trees growing out in the PLC. We opened up open up the panels, the lights are just flashing all over the place.
So it's feeding back, something's feeding
back. Yeah, it's weird.
And it just, it's happened during the last 6 months.
Periodic, yeah. It's just,
okay.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was fine.
It was fine.
We did some sort of maintenance, and now it's something's happening.
You know, PG&E had done some work, but according to Gregory, they were out there testing it and stuff, and he says that it wasn't any of the work that that PG&E did, so we got to try to locate it internally. Rock rail troubleshoot at the backwash pump at Newport, interpreting that soft start needs to be replaced, and Virgil authorized that, so we're going to get ready to do that to replace those soft starts. Any questions on water?
The big key item that you might be interested in is that Well 1B was brought back into service, and Well 1B was the one that we increased production on. We had a lot of discussion on it a couple of years ago. Waited for the downtime of the season, if you will, to do the work, and now it just went back online.
Yeah. So our preventive corrective maintenance backlog work orders are within range.
So Well 1B has a better or a lower salinity content, is that?
No, Well 1, it's our least producing well, and we increased its production by, I want to say 200 gallons per minute by going in and changing the horsepower in the pumps and sort of things like that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any questions?
No, nothing. Anything for the board?
Get healthy.
Are you?
Thank you.
I got a question about the drought that's ongoing. Is that having an impact on our wells to the point where we're going to get restrictions too, like some of the other places in the state have? We seem to be getting enough water out of our wells.
Oh, we're producing everything you need.
Okay.
I don't know how long we'll be able to do that, but we're doing
it. That's what I'm asking. Is it looks like
it'll take more than a year of drought to affect the aquifer that we're in.
Yeah,
thanks.
Oh yeah.
Thanks.
The other thing is in Lakeshore, you mentioned the odor at lift station. When are you coming back on that to relook at that?
If you can get something. You start smiling, give me a call. I want to go. I need to go out there.
Well, the guy that lives right next to it is frequently has concerns about it. So
yeah, I need to go out there and visually see and smell. You know.
Well, if you go out there, you'll see there's a house right there.
Yeah, I've been out there. And
I guess he bought it at a certain time of the year when he didn't realize what he was getting into.
Thanks, Furman.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, Furman.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Up to the top here. One day, Rick, you have to show me how to get this in to come back to the top.
Do the outline of the agenda.
I tried that. Oh, I tried that again. All right, here we go. Okay, General Manager's report, please.
I have one item and a kind of a related item.
Okay.
Just want to remind the board that the workshop is on February the 1st, and scheduled 9 to noon. We'll see how it goes, longer, shorter, but we will have plenty of time, I think, to be able to get through the agenda. I'm working on it right now. With respect to Mr. Ziegler's comments, actually, I've been doing a lot of looking into that, and it is a topic of discussion that I'm putting on the agenda for the workshop. Because as a public water agency, our numbers have been spiking. We've gone up 8% over the last 3 years in terms of water consumption. So we've gone from about a billion 185 gallons used per year. We should be on a downward trend. We have to be, by 2020, we have to legislatively reduce water consumption by 20%, but we're going to get into all of that at the workshop.
Well, we just got new houses that are full in the last 3 years. The economy is changing, and all the vacant houses are filling up as more families.
And you just sold 200 more houses they just built.
I know.
And you got, 3 years ago, we were in a terrible recession, so you got to figure you came back for that. What were we doing 5 years ago?
Yeah.
So we can talk about that at the workshop. Let's talk about that at the workshop. I mean, this spike is to be expected. Oh, anything else, Rick? District legal.
And just one item I left you, the new 2014 Public Officials Guide to the Brown Act. There's some minor changes in them, none that will affect you. They dealt with secret ballots. They dealt with a closed session that you can actually meet with the board can meet with, or any district or agency can meet with the governor in a closed session setting. They included a closed session item for districts or governing bodies that direct pension funds. They now allow you to figure out which pension fund you're going to invest in closed session. So minor changes, nothing that you, I think, will notice, but we want to make sure that you get a new copy of it, and you now have it.
Good. Thank you. Committee updates. We have community center status report. There is no written report. Is there another report?
My question on NSA, on remodeling, refreshing, if you will. How far along are we? Are we kind of at the 99% mark, or what?
Yes.
Okay.
We are very close to wrapping up, if not on punch list items, at this point in time. Yes. And one pesky.
When are we going to actually
fix that? One pesky light pole.
When are we going to actually fix that? I mean, we know what it is. It's in the lawn. The wiring goes through the lawn in the front. It's been out for months. We've paid to fix it twice now, thousands. And it's the first thing you see when you come in the driveway of this beautiful building we just did. When are we going to fix it?
We're actually probably going to be looking to coming back to the whole, to the board at a point in time, probably with the budget, to do a complete light retrofit of that facility.
That doesn't answer my question.
I don't know, Mr. Simon.
When are you going to, well, let me ask this question. When are we going to assign somebody to go? We know what it is.
Our electrician is working on it.
What's he doing? He's not digging up the lawn, and he already knows what it is. I already asked him. So if he's not digging the lawn up, what's he doing to work on it? I don't mean, Rick, I'm not trying to rally you.
I don't talk to him every day about it. I haven't spoken to him about it. I've been talking to Farron about it. All I know is that the two of them are trying to work out a plan to get it fixed. Last week there was the entire row along the boulevard had gone out because of this issue. There was the conduit inside. Wires were tied together inside the poles with wire ties. Completely illegal. Had to go and retrace all that, pull all that out. And this one, for some reason, they can't identify the source.
I would suggest that sooner than later we come back with a proposal for replacing those highlights with bollards. I mean, they're all going to fall over and create this issue. They're all rotted out. The whole electrical system is probably substandard with regards to how it was put in place, whether it's in conduit, whether it's sealed, all of the above. I would suggest that we move ahead.
A lot of it's just wires in the ground.
Exactly.
It's in conduit,
and so, and we know that the bases aren't good. We know they're going to fall over. And I think that going with energy saving and lower bollards that would probably light up both the front the walkway, because there's, you know, we plan to have night meetings and stuff down there. I would just suggest that we move forward with that sooner than later and getting some proposals as a future agenda item. Oh, I skipped ahead. Sorry, sir. Sorry, I skipped ahead to future agenda items.
Okay. Public records request of the Bay Area News Group. There was no others. Future agenda items. Marianne, anything?
I have a future agenda item. We had talked about having on the agenda projected costs for us to do the foundation preliminary work, and it was not on here. So if we could have that on the next one, that would be nice.
Did you hear that, Rick?
Yes, and yes.
Anything else?
That's all.
Bill? Kevin?
I said my piece.
Did you get the lights?
Yeah, he's got it.
Chris?
No, thanks.
Yeah, nothing for me either. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Well done, sir. Pretty well done.